This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. It's 8:38 a.m, Friday the 6th of November, and in about 10 minutes, we'll be diving into what to expect from Malaysia's Budget 2021 announced later today with analysis from economist Suhaimi Ilyas of Maybank Kim Eng. But before that, let's talk about the US election. Because it's 2 days after Election Day and the US is still without their 46th president, with the race too close to call, Joe Biden has called for patience and calm, while Donald Trump has continued with legal threats, calling strongly for vote counting to stop.
The key states that continue to grip us, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania and Nevada. Trump is leading in Pennsylvania and Georgia, but Biden appears to be increasingly narrowing that gap. Biden was seen leading in Arizona yesterday, but Trump looks like he's quickly closing in.
Yeah, those are the two races, right? It's Pennsylvania, Trump's lead is falling, but on the flip side, Biden's lead in Arizona is narrowing. And in Nevada, Biden's slim lead is also slowly growing there. So a lot still to be decided. And with many hopeful for a result as soon as today, the reality is it could take several more days for the vote count to conclude before a clear winner emerges, despite what the current president says.
So for more analysis on what's happening in the US, we have on the line with us this morning Matt Dickinson, Professor of Political Science at Middlebury College. Matt, thank you for joining us. Now, talk to us about which wins both Biden and Trump need to secure for either of them to cross the magical 270 electoral vote finishing line.
There's five states, as you said, where votes are still being counted. Joe Biden really only needs to win two of those, any two or Pennsylvania by itself. Donald Trump, in contrast, must win at least four, and that combination has to include Pennsylvania. So there's many more roads to victory for Joe Biden than there is for Donald Trump.
A winning margin less than 1% warrants a recount if the loser demands for it. And that's certainly what Trump will ask for if he loses. What is the likelihood of a recount? I mean, will it really impact overall results, you reckon?
Well, the important thing to keep in mind here is in the United States, we have 50 separate elections in each state, each governed by its own rules. So that 1% recount only applies to some states. In Wisconsin, for instance, Donald Trump is within 1% of Joe Biden. He has asked for a recount. Wisconsin will grant that. That will only affect the results in Wisconsin. And it only will affect the outcome if the recount changes so many votes that it overcomes the margin between the two candidates. For instance, in Wisconsin, there's a 20,000 vote difference. It's highly unlikely any recount is going to flip that. So I'm quite dubious that even if Donald Trump pursues a recount in all of these contested states, unless the margins are really close, that is not going to change the election.
Now, Matt, maybe you can talk to us about the narratives that are coming out from both campaigns, right? So in Michigan, Republicans' supporters have been calling for the vote counting to stop, but it's the opposite in Arizona, where they're demanding for the count to continue and count every single vote. What is the narrative that the Trump campaign is trying to sell the voters here?
Well, Donald Trump just held a very contentious press conference in which he took no questions, but he basically asserted without evidence that the Democrats are stealing votes. There has been, as far as we can see in the media, no valid reports that vote stealing is taking place. All that's happening is votes that have already been cast are just being processed past election date. That's not unusual in the United States. It takes a while to count votes. If Trump can produce some evidence of voter fraud, then they can go forward with the legal cases based on that. But so far, we haven't seen any.
Could you take us through that, though? How potentially messy could the legal cases and contesting get from this election? What's the process like going to look like or could look like?
Well, you have to have a basis for bringing a legal suit. And there's two of them that the Trump administration is pursuing. One is that allowing votes to come in after the election is a violation of the law. And the Supreme Court has already decided not to intervene in a couple of states when those cases were brought before the election. I just don't see them intervening on that basis at all. Again, remember, elections are governed by individual states. Each state has its own rules. Some let ballots come in after the election, some don't. But the second way in which lawsuits could proceed is evidence of voter fraud. Dead people voting multiple times, people voting in two different states. There you would have a legal case, but whether it's substantial enough to change the outcome, again, I'm very doubtful.
Now, in contrast to President Trump's threats of legal action, the Biden camp has appeared quietly optimistic and has made several calls for patience. So could you talk to us about the differing approaches between these both camps and how that plays into an anxious nation awaiting results?
Sure. The key word you used there was cautiously optimistic for the Biden people. They believe if the votes are counted, they will win. And so they're proceeding on that assumption. Trump realizes if all the votes are counted, he may not win. And so he's doing everything he can do to create the impression that the counting of votes is fraudulent. The risk here is when you have a president who has the support of committed base voters, we'll call them, a small minority of them may use his words as a reason to engage in some type of demonstrations. And you hope the demonstrations don't turn violent. The bigger issue here, though, no president, Joe Biden included, wants to take office under a cloud of suspicion that he wasn't legitimately elected. Donald Trump spent his first 2 years in office fighting allegations that the Russians elected him. That just doesn't help a president govern.
The results of this election show some 48% of Americans support Trump. What does this say about the needs of this population and what elements of Trumpism will remain?
Well, when we look at the people who supported Trump in this last election, they include predominantly white voters, rural voters with middle to lower levels of education, years of education. He also increased his support among African Americans, among Hispanics, among Asian Americans. And the reason, of course, is because before the COVID pandemic hit, the economy was growing and growing quite robustly in ways that was lifting all boats. And he was able to effectively argue that if Joe Biden comes in, that growth is going to reimpose COVID-based shutdown of the economy, and you can't afford to do that. And about 48%, half the country really bought that argument over the argument that Joe Biden was making.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Matt. That was Matt Dickinson, Professor of Political Science at Middlebury College, giving us some insight into what exactly is happening in the US at this point in time, as well as the very different narratives coming out of both the Trump and Biden camp. And I think the point he makes at the end there, which is that which is around the fact that so many people still do support Donald Trump, I think this was really what Democrats didn't quite expect, that he would still have this much support, and that the pandemic hasn't really totally taken over all of the concerns over the economy.
Donald Trump likes to say he's a lot of things, and he's good at the best at a lot of things, and we may cast a lot of doubt on those different things. But what he is very good at is marketing and delivering a message and targeting that message towards certain groups. He wanted people to think that if Joe Biden won, he would shut down the economy again, and the economy would suffer some more. He wants people to think that vote counting beyond Election Day is fraudulent. He wants some people to think that way. And he's effectively delivering that message, however incorrect it may be. So those are just, I mean, that's the kind of situation that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, so we're still going to be watching this very closely as we hope for results sometime today. But right now we are heading into some messages. And up next, the economics behind Budget 2021. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.